Turn in our Bibles again to the book of Psalms and to Psalm 67. Psalm 67, just a very short psalm we're going to meditate on this evening for a moment or two before we come to communion. This is what the psalm says. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. Selah. That means just pause and think. That your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. Selah. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all of the ends of the earth will fear him. What a wonderful little psalm. Well, following on from the little piece I said about sabbatical this morning, and from, I suppose for want of a better word, the charge maybe to the church that I brought as I prepare just to take a step back, and as you continue as God's people under the ministry of Tim and his leadership, there's a question that I thought would be very appropriate for us to consider around the communion table, or in light of the fact we are coming around the communion table this evening. What is your greatest desire? That's a leading question, isn't it? Many of us have all sorts of desires, many of them good. They're not necessarily bad. But what is our greatest desire? This week just gone, but the end of the week before, I had a phone call in the office from somebody who had become disillusioned with some churches that he had been trying, and trust me, he'd been trying a lot. He'd had a re-encounter with God over the Easter period. He's a disabled gentleman, and he has certain needs that are peculiar to him. But he'd had this re-encounter with the Lord Jesus over the Easter period. He'd gone far away from God. Yet he suddenly had this vision, and it was a literal appearing in his mind of Jesus on the cross. And the fact that he needed to once again just repent of the wrong things he'd done and confess to God that he'd gone far away from him. And he asked if I'd just go down and see him. So of course I said, yes, I'd be more than pleased. And so I went down that afternoon. I spent a couple of hours with him probably. And in the course of conversation, he sort of began talking to me an awful lot about his experience that he'd had as he had this vision, and I had no reason to doubt that that was anything but real. He also began to talk to me about his disillusionment with church, and because of his disablement and the fact that he tends to be 90% housebound and not able to get out, he also talked to me that since he'd had this reawakening of spiritual desire and life within him, that he had one great desire, and it was that Jesus would come again, he'd go to glory and everything would be okay. Now, that's not a bad desire to have, but in the course of our conversation, it soon became clear that actually nothing else mattered at all. Well, I don't need to go to church because the Lord's going to come back soon and take me. I don't need to be too worried about the state of the world because the Lord's going to come back soon and it'll all be all right. I don't need to, in fact, worry about too much else. as long as I've just got this great desire that the Lord is going to come back. As I say, there's nothing wrong with that desire, but that was his greatest desire. I wonder what yours is, I wonder what mine is. Perhaps your greatest desire is not something so spiritual. Perhaps it's, as we were thinking this morning, you know, my greatest desire is that I might get back in step with God's way, not my own way. You know, how Saul went his way. Perhaps, you know, you're struggling like that. And your greatest desire is that you just might get back in step with God. You know, that's what God wants from you. That's what God longs from you. And if that's your greatest desire as well, then, well, I suggest the two of you get together and get it sorted out. Perhaps our desire is for nothing even as spiritual as that. Perhaps it's hopes and desires for friends, for family, for our future. And as I take a step back for this time of sabbatical, my prayer for the church, and I sort of alluded to this morning, my prayer for the church is that your desire will continue to be just what this psalm talks about. Psalm 67 and verses 1 and 2 are so direct, aren't they? Yet they are just so, so relevant. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. Selah. Let's pause and think about that for a moment. How wonderful it is when we know God's face shining upon us. When God is gracious to us and he blesses us. We go through periods, don't we, where we're so conscious of that in our Christian lives. We go through periods of that real closeness with God, and we are just so aware of God's graciousness and blessing upon our life, and the sense that he is just that lovely godly smile upon our lives. Verse 2 goes on to say that your ways may be known on earth and your salvation among all nations. One commentator has said that this psalm is an appropriate chorus to the high priestly blessing of the Old Testament. Many of you will know what that high priestly blessing is, and it is the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. And there it is, I fluffed it up, didn't I? But never mind. And of course, this psalm is an appropriate chorus or an appropriate refrain, isn't it, to that high priestly blessing from the Old Testament. And the reason it's an appropriate refrain is because the psalm doesn't support the ideas of modern age about spirituality and religion. You know, the modern age, any form of spirituality tends to be very wishy-washy in many ways. It's dependent upon feelings, isn't it? It's a dependent possibly on how prosperous we are. That's the tragedy with the current health, wealth and prosperity gospel. You know, any sense of God's blessing is simply because you're doing fine and you've got plenty of money in the bank and life's good and you haven't got any ill health at all. It depends upon feelings. It depends on that sense of mood. Other spirituality of our age depends so much, doesn't it, on a sense of maybe peace and solemnity through some form of meditation, without any real serious concern that the object that we have in our minds that we're meditating on is the true and the living God. You know, this psalm reminds us that God wants to be known for who he really is. Just look at the last part of verse 4. You rule the peoples justly. You guide the nations of the earth. Psalm reminds us that God wants to be known for who he really is, so that our praise, our joy, our sense of reality are rooted not in something that we are just imagining, that is giving us a sense of well-being, but in the one who rules and guides. The psalm reminds us God wants us to be known for who he really is, so that our praise and our joy are also rooted in such reality, so that God's worth and God's glory are seen by the nations. First part of verse 4. So that the nations, the people around us, might be glad and sing for joy. So the prayer of this psalm is not for the faint-hearted. It's not actually for spiritual wimps. It's not for those who want a comfortable sort of relationship with God. Such a prayer as "May God be gracious to us and bless us" has the potential to be far-reaching. It has the potential to be completely life-transforming, life-changing, both as individuals but also as God's people. And one of the reasons I just want us to just think on this for a moment this evening is because as we begin to move into new ventures as the church with our vision plan for the next 5 years and beyond, some of the things we want to explore, this psalm becomes hugely important. It becomes hugely relevant. And it becomes hugely important and relevant for many reasons. And the first one is that we do need to know the Lord's blessing. We need to be supremely confident that the Lord is blessing what we seek to do for him. You know, when we bless God, and when I say when we bless God, I mean, when we praise him, when we worship him. That is really all it is, isn't it? We usually just utter words of praise and worship as we bless and adore God. But when God blesses us, well, it's a very, very different experience, isn't it? It's a very different concept. Because as God blesses us, he does a number of things. He enriches us, for one thing. He leads us deeper into that rich relationship with himself. He also empowers us. Paul talks to in his letter to the Ephesians about God's power that is at work in us. And when God blesses us, he empowers us through giving us his divine or his God-given gifts. And the way that we can then serve him and use those gifts. And the way that then equips us as God's people. Interesting to read Margaret's little bit in the magazine. Well, not little bit, I mean it was a good bit. A little bit in the magazine, I just say it generally. But, you know, she quoted the strapline of our logo, didn't she? Being passionate about knowing Jesus and about making him known. And you see, when God blesses us, when he enriches us, when he equips us, when his power is at work in us, when he gives us his gifts to serve him, that's just what happens. It helps us to be those passionate people about knowing him and making him known. And so, following on from this morning and what I said, just flip over to Psalm 133 with me. We'll come back to Psalm 67 in a minute, but let's just look at Psalm 133. It's a psalm of David. It's one of the songs of ascents that would have been sung on the pilgrimage up to the temple in Jerusalem. And here God's people were together. They all had a common aim and a common purpose as they went to Jerusalem to worship. They were all going there. They were all going in the same direction. That's hugely important to remember as we just read this psalm. And the psalm says, "How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It's as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore." So if the Lord commands his blessing in when God's people dwell together with this sense of unity and common purpose and aim and love for God and all the other bits and pieces that are caught up in that phrase of unity. If the Lord commands his blessing there, then surely the main teaching point of Psalm 67 teaches us this, that God blesses us in such a way so that the people around us will be blessed. That's surely the main teaching point of Psalm 67. You see, the psalmist knows Psalm 67. He knows that God wills to be known. He knows that God wills that people should praise him, that people should fear him for who he really is. God even wills that people should enjoy him. And so the response from the Psalm 67 is, well, look, you know, God, will you bless us in such a way that God would really know, that people rather would really know who you are? There's a link, isn't there, in the psalm between verse 1 and 2. There's a very important link. You see, the psalmist prays, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that. First word of verse 2, that. That your ways may be known, your salvation among all nations. And so the point I just want to stress tonight is this, that God blesses his people, not just simply for their own sake, but God blesses his people for the sake of those around them. He blesses them, not just for their own sense of spiritual well-being, but so that they might be a blessing, and that through them God might be known. Surely that was what it was all about when God called Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees back in Genesis chapter 12, wasn't it? It wasn't just so that God would pluck this man Abraham out of a pagan background, out of total obscurity, so that it would be just great for Abraham. I'm sure Abraham felt truly blessed to be plucked from such a pagan background. I'm sure he was hugely thankful to God for saving him and for calling him, that he received the blessing of the one true and living God. But the blessing wasn't just for him, was it? God said to him, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. It's a theme that Isaiah picked up on. As Isaiah brought God's word to God's people, the Israelites. God speaking to his people. Isaiah 49 verse 6 says this, I will give you, God's people, as a light to the nations. Why? So that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. That's almost exactly what Psalm 67 says, word for word, isn't it? The thing that the psalmist does in Psalm 67, which is interesting, is he turns that prayer into a prayer. God has promised that to Isaiah, he would give his people as a light to the nations. The psalmist turns it into a prayer. Okay then, God, be gracious to us and bless us so that we might be that blessing, so that we might make your salvation known. Yeah, it's a great thing, isn't it, to sometimes pray the promises of God. Have you ever done that? We sometimes do that in our desperation, don't we? When we're going through a particularly bad time or some crisis happens and, you know, we just... Lord, you've promised never to leave me. I trust you for that now. But you know, it's a good thing to do outside of those extreme moments, to pray the promises of God. It's a hugely spiritually uplifting thing, because when we pray, God hears and, you know, he blesses us. And so therefore it's completely right, isn't it, for the psalm to pray this prayer. It's right and it's spiritually proper for us to pray for blessing upon ourselves for the sake of others, for the sake of the people around us, the nations. And you know how topical is that for our country in the run-up to a general election? And you know how much we need to pray, don't we, that God would be gracious to us as a country, and that he would really overrule for us as a country, but even more so, how much more God would be gracious to us, God, as his people here in this country, so that, you know, we might make a difference, as we thought this morning on that video clip from Steve Clifford. Not voting, keeping quiet is not an option. We need to be active. How desperately our own nation needs to experience the Lord's blessing. You know, God's common grace and his common goodness is taken for granted, probably by ourselves as well, but certainly by those people who don't know God. They just take, don't they, and they don't think, well, you know, why do I live in the UK? Why do I have so much when others have so little? Why is it I'm so fortunate? You know, our nation needs to experience God's blessing over and above just expressing that common grace and that common goodness. How urgent is the gospel need in our own land, let alone in other lands? But you see, the psalm tells us, doesn't it? It's all because the fact God loves the nations. You see, he loves the other people. It's no good Christians just simply basking in the fact, well, God loves me. I'm okay. The Bible tells us that God loves the nations. He loves the other people who as yet do not love him. He doesn't want any to perish. He wants all to come to saving faith. He knows full well that that's not going to happen. Yet that's God's desire. God's desire is that all should be saved. And so God loves the nations of the world. He loves the other people who are around us. And the reason... What was I going to say? I was going to just say this. You know, let's not forget, God still does love the UK. I'm convinced of that. God still loves the UK. And so the psalm teaches us, yeah, it's right for us to pray this prayer for ourselves. I did want to say that earlier, but I forgot, so it just came to me. But you see, it's because God loves the nations of the world, and because he knows that in all of our joy of him and all of the joy of our experience of him, when that is welling up inside us, that somehow increases all the more when others experience it for themselves. As we experience God's blessing and are filled to the brim with it, you know, those who are still outside of the kingdom of God, when they receive it as well, well, God's blessing, it wells up within them to an even greater extent, and they're saved. And so I suppose Psalm 67 is a very missional prayer, isn't it? It's not one that is just designed to sort of make us be happy with the status quo. It's one that is a missional prayer. It's one that has this request for blessing deeply ingrained into the psyche of God's people, not just simply so we can be comfortable and chill out while, like that man I spoke to the other week, we just wait for God to call us home. It's rather that we might be blessed so we can be a blessing, so that we might be filled with the love of God, so that we might be filled with a wonder and excitement of God, so that we are almost fit to burst. And you see, that's the beat the psalm pulses with. For it's only when God's people, or when it's only rather when God blesses his people, and that they then become in turn that blessing. Look what happens in the first part of verse 6. That the land will yield its harvest. The last part of verse 7. And all the ends of the earth will fear him. You know, Jesus talked, didn't he, about the fields being ready for harvest. wasn't talking about the literal fields. He was talking about people. He was talking about those people who maybe are so close to the kingdom of God, yet are still so far. He was talking about the others, the other nations. And this psalm tells us that when we pray for God's blessing to be on ourselves in order that we might be that blessing, then some of that harvest will be gathered in. So the second thing that I just want to leave really this evening is another question. So when do you think it would be most likely that God would bestow his blessing upon his people? Psalm 133, definitely when they dwell together in unity, yes. But it would naturally follow, I think, from Psalm 67 that God would most likely bless us when we have this intentionality in our minds to bless those around us. And when I say this intentionality in our minds, I mean when we are planning to do something about it. God is most likely to bless us when we are seeking ways of being that blessing to others. When we are planning, well, how can we engage with our community in a better way? When we are being visional people. And when we have a deep-seated desire and longing that we, Rick Stones Church, might be that blessing. You know, the psalm tells us, doesn't it, that if God wants his ways to be made known and his salvation to be made known among all the nations, he will bless his church. But he will bless the church that's already pouring itself out in acts of love and service for the unreached people who are still outside of the kingdom of heaven. And then when God blesses his people in such a way, it's not payment for the services that they have rendered to God. It's not our due because we've been faithful people. It's not our due because we've had new visions of how to engage with people. It's not blessing for what we do. It's a blessing that is given by God in God's power. And this blessing is a sense of joy that he gives us that we are able to be part of his mission. This blessing also helps us to realize we still have much to accomplish and how much we need God to bless us. So there are two truths, aren't there, in the connection between verses 1 and 2. God blesses his people for the sake of the nations, and therefore God is most likely to bless us when we have that desire. When that becomes our greatest desire, when we are planning to be used by him, when we long to be used by him, when we are praying to him, Lord, make us that blessing to the peoples around us so that they might be glad in you. Over the summer, Tim's going to be leading the church, and at the business meeting in June, he will continue to outline some of those vision things and how we want to maybe just begin to move forward and begin to explore some of them in a slightly deeper way. And one of the things I'm going to be doing while I'm on sabbatical is engaging with other ministers and going to visit some other churches to see how they do things, to see how they have had some success in engaging with their communities. I'm going to see how they do church, if you like, how they are able to interact with the people of their community with the gospel. And so my prayer is that as you continue here and as you sit under Tim's ministry and as you continue to work out that sense of vision, or as you begin to do that, and my prayer is that as I step away, that together our prayer might be Psalm 67 verses 1 and 2. May God be gracious to us and bless us. And make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth and your salvation among all nations. course, as we come to the table this evening, we're also reminded, aren't we, that we actually have huge blessings already. Now, Paul isn't contradicting what I've just said from Psalm 67. He's talking in a completely different sense as on a spiritual level. But as we come to the communion table, we're reminded of what Paul says, Ephesians 1 verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. And in love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he has lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. You see, we have every blessing. We have every spiritual blessing in the Lord Jesus Christ, but we still need to pray to God to make us, to be a blessing, or to bless us, so that we might be a blessing to a needy, lost, hurting world around us. And I pray that that might be your prayer and my prayer over this summertime.